Very good. If you've closed your Bibles, turn back with me to John chapter 10 and the Church Red Bibles. It's on page 1076. Imagine if you saw this headline, Shepherd Loses Life Saving Sheep. I wonder what you'd think. Maybe you'd think it's sad. Maybe tragic, even. What if we change that headline a little and it was this? Shepherd gives up life to save sheep. Maybe that sounds a bit more heroic, self-sacrificial, even. What about this? What if the headline was, Shepherd chooses to give up life to save sheep? I wonder what you would think then. What I'm getting at is this. At some point, we would start to ask, wouldn't we, was it worth it? And it's an important question. If you were stood on the other side of this wall, you'd be on Greenbank Station. I want you to imagine you're on Greenbank Station and you see a family with a child and the child is struggling to open a sweet. They're getting a bit frustrated. They struggle a little bit and then it falls out of their hand and onto the railway track. Maybe they burst into tears. But you wouldn't jump down onto the track to get it for them, would you? And if they looked like they were starting to climb down onto the track, you'd grab them and you'd stop them, wouldn't you? Why? Because it's not worth it. A train could be coming. It's not worth risking your life for a sweet. And of course, sometimes we consider things, and on balance, it is worth it. I saw in the news this week, a few days ago, an 84-year-old man called Graham Sisson from the Peak District became the oldest ever organ donor when he gave one of his kidneys to save the life of his 49-year-old son-in-law. It's a massive sacrifice. It's a big decision. But I imagine we'd all agree that it was worth it. We're used to making those sorts of decisions, aren't we? What is the cost? What is the benefit? What's the risk? What's the reward? Is it worth it? And I think that's the problem, or at least I think that's the surprise with what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11. You see, in John chapter 10, Jesus is in the middle of having a conversation with a group of the Jewish religious leaders called the Pharisees. They were supposed to be one of God's gifts to the people. They were supposed to help the people. They were supposed to serve the people. They were supposed to teach the people and lead the people. They were supposed to be the shepherds of the people and look after the precious sheep. But they didn't. Last Sunday, if you were here, we were looking at verses 1 to 10, and we saw that Jesus said, in fact, they weren't shepherds at all. They were more like thieves and robbers, harassing the sheep, hurting the sheep, not caring for the sheep, but caring for themselves. And then Jesus says this in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You might know that John's Gospel is famous for containing Jesus's I am sayings, and this is one of them. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's contrasting himself with the religious leaders. But did you notice just how ridiculous what he says is in verse 11? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 12 and 13 make sense, right? The hired hand, it says, is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. That makes sense, doesn't it? If the person looking after the sheep is a teenager earning £10.85 an hour and a wolf comes, he's not going to stick around, is he? It's not worth it. He'd run away, and who can blame him? But verse 11 seems to go too far the other way, doesn't it? The pendulum seems to swing too far the other way. But that's the first thing we see in this passage, that Jesus' love for us is a love of perfect disproportion. Sheep are important. Ish. You might even say sheep are precious. They certainly were 2,000 years ago in Israel. But a shepherd laying down his life for a sheep doesn't really make sense, does it? If a wolf attacked, I think you'd expect a good shepherd to take a stand, right? You'd put up some kind of a fight. You'd expect a good shepherd not to just run away like a hired hand. But surely there would come a time when we would want to ask, is it really worth it? Is it really worth a person losing their life to save a sheep? A human life, after all, is more important than a sheep's. The sacrifice is too great. The love, the care, the devotion seems disproportionate. And friends, that is exactly what Jesus wants us to see. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, that's exactly what he did on Good Friday. Back in chapter 9 of John's Gospel, Jesus heals a man who'd been born blind. He gives him his sight. Read through the rest of John's Gospel and you'll see that Jesus did all sorts of incredible, miraculous things like that. He healed the lame. He cured the leprous. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He calmed storms. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. Again and again and again, Jesus did things that no one else can do. And Jesus said things that no one else could say to show us that he's not like anyone else. He is God. And now he says that he, the Son of God, is the good shepherd who's going to lay down his life for his sheep. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood, when the Prince of Life, my ransom, shed for me his precious blood. The first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus' love is a love. Love for us is a love of perfect disproportion. The second thing I think we see is that Jesus' love for us is a love of perfect knowledge. Perhaps your first reaction to hearing Jesus say that he is going to lay down his life for you and me is to say, don't. Jesus, don't do it. Please don't. Perhaps what Jesus says makes you feel embarrassed. Perhaps it even makes you feel guilty. If he knew what I was like, if he knew what I've done, if he could see my heart, he wouldn't do that. But friends, look again at verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now just have a think about what Jesus is saying there for a moment, because it is astonishing. The Bible tells us that God is three persons in one. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now I know that's pretty hard for us to get our heads around. That shouldn't surprise us. He's God after all. But one of the things that means is that for all eternity, God has been the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in relationship with one another. So how well does the Father know the Son? Answer, perfectly. How well does the Son know the Father? In every way. And now Jesus says, in the same way he knows everything about you and everything about me, and he is still willing to die for you and me. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. There are things, aren't there, that if our best friend knew about us, we fear it would make them love us less. If you knew what I was like when no one was looking, I worry about how you would feel about me. Friends, Jesus doesn't lay down his life for us because he doesn't know what we're like. He lays down his life for us because he does know what we're like. And he knows that we are helpless without him. Being compared to a sheep, that's what's happening in this chapter, being compared to a sheep is not supposed to be a compliment. Sheep are pretty hopeless. They can't take care of themselves. Sheep get stuck. Sheep get lost. Sheep fall over and can't stand up again. Sheep need a shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep because he knows that the only way his sheep will have life is if he gives it to them. And that's what he longs for us to have. Look at verse 10. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to have life. And he knows we can't have it without him. Friends, Jesus knows you. Which means he also knows your situation. He knows that life is hard. He knows that work is frustrating and disappointing. He knows that relationships are difficult and they hurt. He knows that our bodies get old and our bodies get ill. He knows that death overshadows it all. He knows and he sees what we all know and all see, but we're so often too afraid to admit that life is painful and confusing and messy and short. And so what does he do about it? He does the most amazing thing. God the Father sent God the Son to come and be our shepherd and lead us into life. He didn't come just to be our teacher and show us how life works best, although he does that. No, Jesus came to be our shepherd and bring us life by laying down his own and giving up his own. On the first Good Friday, Jesus chose to die so that you and I could live. And he knows what we're like, and he knows we don't deserve it, and he knows it's utterly disproportionate and doesn't make any sense. So why does he do it? Because he loves us. God is the one who gave you life. God is the one who knit you together, the Bible says, in your mother's womb. God is the one who breathed life into your bones. He wants you to have life. So the Father gave up his Son, and the Son gave up his life so that you could have life. That's the last thing I want us to see from this passage. That Jesus' love for us is a love of perfect sacrifice. Look at verse 17. Jesus says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Now, it is hard for us to fathom, but if Jesus is God, well, then he didn't have to die any more than he had to be born. Let me say that again. If Jesus is God, then he didn't have to die any more than he had to be born, but he chose to. We sometimes talk, don't we? We sometimes see examples of people being willing to make the ultimate sacrifice and lay down their lives for the sake of others. And when that happens, we should celebrate it. We should acknowledge it. But that is not quite what Jesus is doing. He did more than that. You see, if someone dies serving in the military, defending their country, fighting a war, winning peace, that is truly amazing. If someone loses their life because they pushed a child out of the way of an oncoming truck and got hit themselves, that is amazing. But Jesus did more than that. He chose to die. He didn't just choose how to die or when to die. He wasn't going to die. But he chose to die and lay down his life for us. It was his free will and his great desire. And it was the same as his Father's. The Father loved us by sacrificing his Son. The Son loved us by sacrificing himself. His love for us is a love of perfect sacrifice. Friends, that is the message of Good Friday. Shepherd chooses to give up life to save sheep. That's what happened 2,000 years ago on Good Friday. It's why we call Good Friday, Good Friday. Shepherd chooses life to give chooses to give up life to save sheep. And not just any shepherd, but Jesus, the Son of God. And not just any sheep, but you and me. Jesus is our good shepherd who loves us out of all proportion. Who loves us not because he doesn't know what we're like, but because he does. And he wants us to have life. Jesus is our good shepherd who loves us by offering the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, his life. For ours, his death to win us life. But that is not quite the end of the story. Because so far we've focused on what Jesus did. But now the passage asks you and me, what will you and I do? Look at verse 19. It said, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The Jews were the people Jesus went to first. They responded to him in two ways. Some of them laughed at him. Some of them mocked him. Some of them called him mad and chose to ignore him. And not long after he said these words, they chose to kill him. They didn't like being called sheep. They didn't like being told to follow someone. They didn't think they needed him, so they got rid of him. But others listened and heard what Jesus said. Look at verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He's talking about people who aren't Jews. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The good shepherd came to call his sheep to come and follow him. The good shepherd calls us to come and follow him. The question is, will we listen to his voice? Will we stop following other shepherds? Will we stop looking to other things and trusting other shepherds to bring us life? Will we stop wandering away from him and going our own way and instead listen to his voice and accept his invitation? He came to lay down his life for us. Will you accept his sacrifice and follow him? Well, let's consider that question as we sing our next song.